Oh my serious. God. Oh God.
We will call the Health and Human Services Division together for Monday, March 31st. This is the day where we roll out the HHS articles for the finance omnibus bill. As covered in previous committees, but to repeat how we're going to try to proceed through the day, this morning we have made the spreadsheets available as well as the language. I think there's been about 50 copies of the spreadsheet made available to the public. There's more being printed as we speak. We'll be coming as we progress through the hearing and through the day. My understanding is the same with the language. It is the language is posted online, so if folks have an online option, they can get it there. There's about 50 public versions available right now, and there's more being printed. They will come as we progress through the day. We're trying to make sure everybody has an opportunity to look at that. This morning, we're planning on walking through the spreadsheet with staff. All of these have been seen in our division, so we've had testimony and questions of members and public response to each of these. So going through the spreadsheet, I think folks will get on board pretty quickly and understand what's in there. But then we'll recess after stepping through the spreadsheet, taking some questions, clarifications from members. We will recess, have whatever we do throughout the day, go to session. We'll come back at 3 o'clock this afternoon and open it up for public testimony. We will take public testimony as long as there are individuals who wish to give their thoughts about what is in our articles. Not sure how long that will take, but when we are done with public testimony, we will start entertaining amendments from members with the ultimate goal of passing this article on to the full finance division for incorporation into the one finance vehicle that will move to the Senate floor. A little insight into what's in this bill real quick. I mean, I think for a supplemental year, we have a pretty good bill to present to members and the public. We have a lot of items for children and families, a pretty good package for long-term care, several mental health initiatives that will help the system. The safety net folks have a couple of really important pieces in here, and the hospitals, I think we're able to do some of the rebasing and have a pretty decent package to help smooth that a little bit and make sure that it works a little bit better. So we'll step through much of the details. As we roll into the evening, again, we're not sure how long public testimony will take. I'm not sure how many amendments we have around 5 o'clock or so. If it appears we're going to be here late, I will order pizza for members, and we'll probably take a brief recess, not letting anybody go, but, eat some pizza around 6 o'clock or something, and it would be about a 15-minute break or something like that, and then continue and get to work. We do have a deadline of midnight tonight to get this article, articles sent over to Dick Cohen's Finance Committee. So we're going to stay focused and get that piece of work done. Any questions on process that I can help?
Just pass it out tonight.
Yep. Run it out. Pass it out tonight. That's our charge. With that, Mr. Albrecht, do you wish to step us through the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, just to orient you a little bit to how the spreadsheet is organized. On the left-hand side, obviously, is the description of the change items. The first set of six columns is the governor's recommendation, and on the right-hand side, the six columns under the title of Senate are the Senate recommendations. As I go through here, if there is a governor's item that is not included in the Senate's position, then I will just go over that, and it's reflected by just having all zeros on the Senate side. Beginning with line number 7, the Senate's position is an overall change for all funds of $112 million in 14 and 15, with of $236 million in 16 and 17. If you look on the lines below that, lines 8 through 14, you can see how the changes in the general fund and other funds determine that overall amount. The primary changes are obviously in the general fund and the health care access fund. On line 23 is the health care access fund balance, which began as a deficit of $647 million and is now in the Senate's position. On line 23, a deficit of $154 million. On line 28 is the TANF fund, which began with the balance of about $9 million and now is a balance of $49,000. Lines 30 through 35 summarize the changes in the medical assistance program among the different categories of spending in that program for those who are interested. Lines 37, 46, and 73 are the total appropriations for each agency that receive a supplemental appropriation in this bill. Moving on to page 2, the first Senate item is on line 108. This is a 5% increase. CBS providers. In the Senate's position, there is no quorum, 80% of the increase is allocated to employee compensation. The total for that in 14-15 is about $80 million, with $193 million in 16 and 17. Line 122 is, on line 108. Senator Eakin's Senate File 1993. Line 122 is Senator Hayden's amendment to that bill. It's a nursing facility rate adjustment with costs attributed to it of $2 million and about $6 million in the tails. Line 128 is Senator Rosen's Senate File 973, critical access nursing facilities. This is $1.5 million ongoing funding, along with Senator Rosen's changes, encouraging the commissioner to ensure that the money is distributed statewide. Line 132 is Senator Hoffman's, the parts of it that remain budget neutral. Senate File 2679 relating to the HCBS rate setting methodology. A variety of changes. Line 136 was amended onto Senator Wicklund's Senate File 2775. This provision provides medical coverage for uninsured children below 275% of the federal poverty guideline. This begins in fiscal year 2016. The amendment that was put onto that bill also included grants in the amount of $2 million to provide coverage to a similar population in fiscal year 2015. When we get to the Department of Health, you will see those grants because that's where they are administered. The very bottom of that page, line 142, is a Senate position to repeal a current law 10% fee-for-service hospital rate reduction beginning October 1st of 2014. That rate reduction is currently set to expire on June 30th of 2015. The cost for that is $8.4 million in 14 and 15 and $2.4 million in fiscal year 2016. Going on to the next page, page 3, on line 147, is the governor's proposal for a hospital basing. Senate's language is different than the governor's. Senate's language also includes specific direction that the after the rebasing is complete, the estimated expenditures for inpatient hospital medical care must be the same as in the February forecast. Senate's language also has an effective date of October 1st, 2014. Line 150 is a clarification of a current law exemption for children's hospitals from 10% rate reduction that was mentioned earlier. This is Senate File 2392, Senator Franzen's bill. Has a one-time cost of $800,000 in fiscal year 2015. Line 154 is Senate File 1864, Senator Eaton's bill relating to mental health crisis intervention services. Provide for additional intervention services and a different work by different providers compared to current law. Line 159 is Senator Hayden's Senate File 2072, and also a governor's modified recommendation that was released last week to develop a detox services plan. There's one-time spending of $75,000. Line 164 is Senator Marty's Senate File 1718. With $1 million for adult mental health grants targeted to intensive community rehabilitation services. Line 168 is Senator Marty's bill, Senate File 2155, relating to a personal needs allowance for certain folks with child support obligations. $65,000 for that in 2015 and about $480,000 in 2016 and 17. Line 173 is a Senate position with some central office administrative funds for the Department of Human Services. This is because there are several items in this bill where the department had indicated a preference to receive funding for FTEs that the Senate position does not reflect. Line 178 is part of Senator Hoffman's Senate File 2521 requiring the commissioner to publish state plan amendments and receive public comments. Line 182 is Senate File 1731, Senator Claussen's Civil Commitment Act Training appropriation of $35,000. Line 186 is Senator Goodwin's Senate File 1998 relating to a mentally ill offenders work group to develop a plan for a facility for certain mentally ill offenders. Line 190 is Senator Hayden's Senate File 1739, changing the MFIP educational requirements. This change is funded primarily in 16 and 17 out of the TANF fund, $4.8 million. And $691,000 in 14 and 15, also primarily out of the TANF fund. Continue on to page 4. Line 179 is Senator Lurie's Senate File 2658, Uniform Public Assistance Program's eligibility requirements. So is funded partly out of the TANF fund, $3 million in 16 and 17, with the remaining funding coming out of the general fund. Line 208 is Senator Eakin's Senate File 2349, a nursing facility moratorium exception projects. allocation of $1 million. This is the part that pays for the MA rate increases related to those projects. 212 is an adjustment to the Healthcare Access Fund appropriation for medical assistance. This is an adjustment to the 16 and 17 planning estimates for the Healthcare Access Fund. It's an overall reduction in the Healthcare Access Fund of $489 million and a related increase in general fund spending. 218 is the governor's recommendation to make the HCBS Performance Improvement Payment Program to clarify language, making it a forecasted component of that program. Line 225 is the governor's recommendation for community first services and support changes. It reallocates existing general fund dollars among various services within that program. Line 230 is the governor's recommendation for the Jensen settlement compliance. Senate has significantly reduced the request for FTEs for this provision. The governor's total request was $1.4 million with $3.7 million in 16 and 17. The Senate's position is $473,000 with $1.2 million in 16 and 17. Line 242 is the governor's North Star technical and fiscal changes that have a modest $3,000 of savings in this biennium and a $3,000 cost in 2016 and 17. On the next page, page 5, line 246, Senator Pappas's Senate File 1857, funding for the Safe Harbor for Sexually Exploited Youth, $500,000 of ongoing money. There is additional money for this program in the Department of Health. 250 is Senate File 2194, Senator Dibble's bill relating to the Homeless Youth Act, $1 million of ongoing funding. Line 254 is the governor's recommendation for the care deficiency funding request. This is a program that is an enterprise program that is currently not operating as an enterprise program in the sense that it's not covering its costs. The governor's recommendation included $2 million of funding out of the general fund for a total of $10 million when it's combined with other transfers out of dedicated funds. The Senate's position does not include the general fund money. Line 264 is the governor's recommendation to change the law to reflect the actual payment that's currently being given to the Andrew residents. The cost attributed to that is $681,000 in 14 and 15 and $1.4 million in 16 and 17. Line 268 is Senator Coonan's Senate File 2804, $250,000 for senior nutrition programs. Line 272 is the governor's recommendation for the coordination of benefits registry that allows the department and other folks to determine third-party medical coverage so that the medical assistance program remains the payer of last resort. This program has savings of $94,000 and $411,000 in the tails due to recoveries. Line 293 is the governor's position related to expert reviews, court-ordered expert reviews for the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. The governor's request was $3 million of one-time money. The Senate's position is $1.25 million. Going on to page 6, we're now moving into the Department of Health. 465 is the governor's request to a legal settlement in the newborn screening program, technical correction for a duplicate appropriation. The governor's request was to pay for the legal settlement out of the health care access fund. The Senate's position pays for that out of the general fund. 472 is the corresponding Department of Health per Senator Pappas's Senate File 1857, the Safe Harbor for Sexually Exploited Youth. This part is $1 million of ongoing funding. 476 is Senator Hayden's bill from last year, Senate File 1272, the Healthy Homes Program with ongoing funding of $500,000. Line 480 is the health care grants for the uninsured. This is the one that is related to the earlier change in the EMA program for uninsured children below 275% of the federal poverty guidelines. Line 484 is Senator Wicklund's bill for the department, Senate File 2775, for the department to develop a health care quality measures plan. There's no money attributed to that. Line 488 is a change from Senate File 2521 that changes the definition of a rural area in the health professionals' loan forgiveness programs. Line 492 is Senator Wicklund's Senate File 1798, the Women's Health Equity Grant. This is a one-time appropriation of $100,000 for a Somali women's program in Minnesota. Line 496 is Senate File 2026, Senator Stump's bill for a hospital moratorium exception project. This was the one for the mental health beds in Thief River Falls. Line 501 is Senate File 2349, Senator Eakin's bill. This is the MDH site of nursing facility moratorium exception projects. The Department of Health reviews those and approves those projects. Line 505 is the governor's recommendation for developing an integrated home care licensing program for providers who would otherwise have to be licensed by both the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services. Line 510 is the governor's proposal to increase funding for the spoken language interpreter program to accommodate growth in the number of people signing up for our roster. On page 7, on line 14, is the governor's proposal to appropriate money that the department is already collecting for its licensing activities in St. Paul related to food, beverage, and lodging. Line 518 is a variety of technical corrections that the governor proposed and the Senate added to. The Senate's addition is on line 525, correcting the appropriations for the Safe Harbor Evaluation Program. And finally, on line 720 is a Senate position that appropriates $150,000 to the Ombudsman for Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities.
Thank you, Mr. Albrecht. Any questions, clarifications from members?
Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair, could we drill down a little bit more on the Health Care Access Fund, specifically surplus in 2015 and a deficit in 2017, $154 million. So that's a change from the governor's quite a bit then. like 500 million difference.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, the was determining that change is on line 212. On page 4, this is the provision that reduces the planning estimates for the MA spending out of the Healthcare Access Fund. So it reduces projected spending in the Healthcare Access Fund by $489 million.
Senator Rosen.
Can you explain that a little bit better?
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, last year the Health and Human Services Appropriations Bill, Chapter 108, included a direct appropriation for the medical assistance program out of the Health Care Access Fund. I believe the total was in the neighborhood of $400 million in 2014 and 15, with tail spending of approximately $825 million in 16 and 17. So this change reduces that $825 million by $489 million.
Any other questions of members? Senator Sharon.
Could you talk about a little more about 142, the repeal 10% FFS hospital rate reduction? You'll give me the context and the orientation for that expenditure.
You want?
I'm struggling to find it in here, so.
Mr. Chair and Senator Sharon, there is in current law, it was enacted in 2011, a 10% reduction to fee-for-service hospital rates. It's currently scheduled to expire on June 30th of 2015. This provision moves up that expiration to October 1st of 2014. Because the provision, when it was originally enacted, had savings attributed to it, it cost the Senate money to basically have that end early.
If you're interested, it's on page 175, in Article 6, Section 13. And this was a 10% across the board fee-for-service hospital reduction that was adopted in, 2011. It was set to expire, as Mr. Albrecht mentioned. It was set to expire June 30th of 2015, but we're making it expire earlier in order to try to help smooth the transition to the new ICD-10 with the new grouper and the rebasing. If we can end that early, we can actually smooth that transition a great deal and combine those two efforts. And we can do it with one-time money because that 10% rate reduction went away anyway in a few months later. And so those two, in my mind, are kind of combined. That's the ability for us to smooth. That in addition to, as we've talked about in committee on the hospital rebasing, there is the banding concept is integral in here. There's a separate budget neutrality factor for critical access hospitals and for DRG paid hospitals. We've separated out inpatient rehab and long-term care hospitals, and we've currently are giving the department authority to make adjustments as needed for children's hospitals and for deep rural and trauma hospitals to take take into account all of the things that we've had to make adjustments for in the past. You know, ICD-10 will be a much more detailed and much more reflect what actually happens in a hospital, but it's because we can't do runs right now, we did give the department authority to make some of those adjustments and come back to us with a report and tell us how that's going.
And what of this 10%, the earlier date in which this expires? What of this amount of money do you think will be necessary to accomplish those objectives, or do we not know?
It's, Senator Sharon, it's really tough to plug a number to what it takes to do the smoothing. You know, I mean, I'm certain the hospitals would like as much as we can fit in our spreadsheet. You know, this was an idea that we were able to get fiscal noted, not having any real number to work with. You know, I think that this number would be sufficient to smooth the transition well enough that we'd have pretty good buy-in around the state that we can make this new coding system and grouping system and rebasing actually work so that hospitals can be brought on board. We'll have further conversations about this, certainly, as we move forward. I can't say that every single hospital in the state today thinks that what exactly the language we have in here ought to be what goes in the law. I'm not, you know, this isn't an issue that's done. But I think that there's pretty broad buy-in that this general concept is one that is of value. A couple of other related factors. There was a, you know, we've talked about this before. There was a budget-neutral rebasing that was required statutorily and has not been implemented yet. It was due January 1st of 2013. You know, that's on a budget-neutral rebasing, you've got winners and losers. It's very difficult to roll out. But there's a great deal of interest, particularly from the winners, to accomplish that. I mean, I think that we really do need to do a rebasing. I think that moving to the ICD-10 and a new grouper system is also something that is absolutely unavoidable as we move forward. And so some ability to combine all of these and do one rebasing and do it the right way is something that the department and the hospital association and myself, I'll agree, would be the right approach. One clarification that came on Friday, it's not complete yet, and, you know, who can explain what happens in D.C.? Certainly not I, but evidently the House took a vote to delay the ICD-10 requirement that was set, that is currently required that we have ICD-10 by October 1st of 2014. The House passed, I believe, a six-month delay. The Senate is expected to take action in the next day or two, and it's expected to actually become law. So, you know, we thought through that and tried to decide whether we had the time and inclination to rewrite this whole package and decided that, no, at this stage, the ICD-10s are going to be a requirement. The delay, I believe, is only 6 months. I think it maybe gives us some wiggle room to adjust things and make sure that we are able to do it the right way. But I don't think it's in anybody's interest to try to do two rebasings, one, you know, under the old ICD-9 and then one when the ICD-10 is actually required. So it does give us a little bit of flexibility, but that new information is not reflected in the language or the spreadsheets. We haven't done that yet, but it is something that we are, you know, actively discussing with all of the stakeholders about how we take that possible action at the feds and incorporate it. But I think that ending that 10% rate cut in conjunction with the rebasing would help calm the waters a great deal.
There are lots of needs. And this is one, but there's things that are not here that we might be able to fund if we didn't do the full 10%. So we'll talk about that further as we go on.
Yep, absolutely. Any other questions of members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
On page, or line 480, the health care grants for uninsured individuals in the Department of Health, it's $2 million for 14, for 15, actually. And I know that's in conjunction with the 136. What exactly is that $2 million for in the first year from the health?
We reorganized the articles. I'm not going to be able to find it in here, but it's in the Department of Health article. Senator Hayden, do you remember what those? This was a Senator Hayden provision.
Yeah,
it was. And it was for, you know, grants to hospitals and dentists and providers, safety net providers that provide the care for this uninsured population of children. And it would be a grant. It's on page 202. Is where it starts in the bill and goes forward from there. The grants themselves and how much is for each group wouldn't be until later in the appropriations article, but it's the community mental health centers, it's the safety net hospitals, it's the dentists, and they're able to, work with the Department of Health to say, look, we meet this threshold and we'd like access to these grants. It's
sure, very important.
We've done this approach before, and again, it's not perfect, but it's a bridge to help these children that can't gain access to services at all until such time as the department is able to implement the systems to determine the eligibility and pay claims out of the DHS systems.
So, Mr. Chair, so
Senator Rosen.
I would assume this will be looked at again in the next budget, because this is extremely important. And I can't remember what the bill, original bill appropriation was. Senator Hayden, you remember?
I don't remember.
All part of 10 million.
It was like $10 to $15 million, I think, is what we were looking at. And Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, the system couldn't be implemented until 16 especially for these children that are in the uninsured pool, the Safety Net Coalition. So we thought that this is a nice bridge for those providers, not only the hospitals that are taking care of patients, but also dental providers, FQHCs that often sees these uninsured young people as a way to kind of help them with their costs with these folks and therefore prevent them from going to the most acute setting if they don't get the help.
And thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Hayden. That's extremely important, I think, as a bridge. We need to drill down more into this program next year and get a little more funding going forward.
But Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen, you've been a big help with this, and we have to continue to push for to look at this and to make sure that these folks are being served well.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
I must be just having a senior moment here. 514, the appropriation for food, beverage, and lodging program. Can you explain that again? I can't get my heads around that one.
Okay. So, City of St. Paul was delegated the authority for food, beverage, and lodging. It was determined that that delegation should be removed from the City of St. Paul. It was brought back into the Department of Health. The Department of Health is the state agency responsible for that in general, but they're allowed to delegate to cities such as St. Paul. The Department of Health removed that delegation, took over the work themselves, is collecting these fees from the regulated industries. But they're doing it without the appropriation. They can collect the fees, but they can't actually use them in their budget. So this is really correcting the appropriation so that the fees that they're collecting, they're able to use for the purpose for which they're collecting those fees. So, I mean, they were able to pull the delegation back and do the work, but they need the appropriation in order to actually continue that work. We had some discussion about it in both policy and finance, I believe, and Any other questions of members?
But, excuse me, that's Senator really Sharon. not a new, this, their fees pay for this, and they
right.
paid for it before.
Right.
So that's really not, it's just a change of who's going to carry out the function, who gets to use the fee
right.
money.
Right. I don't believe there was any adjustment to the fees. There was no adjustment to the fees collected. They just removed that delegation, pulled it back into the department, and they need the appropriation to continue to do the work. Any other questions of members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Line 254, the CARE efficiency funding request. Just a little further.
So this was two components in order to run the enterprise program. CARE is Community Addiction Recovery Enterprise. Enterprise means that it has to be self-sustaining. They're not supposed to get general fund. They're supposed to be able to support themselves on fees and revenues collected from operating the programs. But they have been running a deficiency. The governor's request was for two parts. It was a part from the consolidated fund and part from the general fund to make up the difference. We took, and as did the House, for whatever it's worth, took the refinancing of the consolidated fund portion of making up the deficiency, but did not take the general fund portion of making up the difference. The difference. Any other questions of members? And we'll have more opportunities too, of course. Seeing none, I will reiterate what we're gonna recess. We're going to, go out to session in an hour and a half. Let the public have some time to take a look at the spreadsheet, understand the language. Again, most of this has been seen and heard and had testimony in committee before, but we're going to come back at 3 o'clock and open up the witness table for public testimony. We don't know at this point how long that will take. I am going to ask members of the public who wish to comment to restrict their comments to about 3 minutes apiece. We will go through that public testimony at the end. When we've exhausted that, we will move to take amendments from members and finish this bill up and hopefully pass it on to full finance by our midnight deadline tonight. So with that, the committee is in recess. Thank you, members.
We should just get rolling right now. Start rolling right now.
Sorry.
We can't do it. We don't even have this.